That huge hello to everybody online, and especially to our young families. I reckon these young families that bring kids to church, squawking all the way, having to change when you get here and all that kind of stuff, and yet still say, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And for a little season, and I can tell you, it goes like that, but for a little season, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm out in this other room. We love you. We're praying for you. We need to know how we can serve you. And we are so grateful for you. And everybody in this room, something's happening in Hope Center. Lynn and I have the joy of getting around all the campuses. The last few weeks been in every one of them. And I'm going to tell you, God is moving by His Spirit. The dynamic that you sense here is happening everywhere. So you know what? You know the key? People who pray and people who believe. So let's keep pressing into Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, we're going to open up to a really important passage. You see, for me, I've got such a word in my heart. I've had to split this word in half. I'm going to share the second half tonight because I just know God is wanting to speak to His people today in a very specific way. And I particularly love Luke chapter 5 because I have a mild interest in boats and fishing. In fact, anything that's aquatic, to be quite honest. And any passage in Scripture that's about boats and fish, I might read more than once. I love it. Boats are my thing. In fact, I probably told you this. My first ever date with Lynn, I've been married 42 years plus some. Yeah, I know. Congratulate her. But my first date actually was when this church used to meet in Fortitude Valley. In Glad Tidings, in the grand old building there, there used to be a balcony, and you know, we were at a youth rally, and I looked down and said to my mate, "I'm going to ask her out." He said, "She won't go out with you." I said, "I've got a trump card. I just bought a brand new ski boat, 5-liter V8, went like the wind." So I timed my thing. She was on the bottom floor, I was upstairs. I timed my run and just bumped into her. And so I said, "Hey, best line I had. I've just bought a boat. Would you like to see it? I'm going to teach you to water ski." And she came. And years into our marriage, she made this confession. She said, "I need to tell you that for the first 6 months we were going out, I liked the boat a lot more than you." This is why I say you should pray, people. God answers prayer. So this is a story about people and boats, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1. It says, Luke 5:1 says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, when you read that, you go, where's that? It's the Sea of Galilee. Luke was particularly, you know, keen to plug into people that were of a Greek origin, and that's the same. The Sea of Galilee, they call it the Lake Gennesaret, and Lynn and I have been there. It's quite a beautiful place, and it's literally, even today, it's still a fishing village. The people were crowding around Jesus and listening to him, listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. And he asked him to pull out a little from the shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. There are a lot of practical reasons why Jesus would get into the boat and go out onto the water. The acoustics are better. Remember, they don't have, in those days, they didn't have the benefit of sound systems like we have to project our voice. So he used the water to make it, even more amplified. There's hillside all around the lake, and he was able to sort of make sure he had more eye contact and more people could get involved in his teaching. So he gets in the boat, and he's using this. It's just a practical reason why he's in the boat. But it gets more interesting from verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Remember verse 4. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Let me tell you something. When Jesus gets into your boat, something's going to happen. We serve the God, the Bible says, Paul writing to the Ephesian church, he does immeasurably more than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Let me tell you, when you invite Jesus into your boat, I don't know what your boat is. It could be your business. It could be your family. It could be a challenge you have right now. But my message to you today is things will change if you let Jesus into your boat. Simon said, okay, Jesus, you're welcome in my boat. Those boats were interesting. They were already at the water's edge, it says in verse 2. They'd been left there. They'd been left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. Why were they washing their nets? They were finished. They'd given up. They'd quit for the day. They'd been out there, Peter says, we've tried hard. And we came up empty, and so there was nothing left to do but to put their boat on the shore and say, well, that was a special day, I must say. And they gave up. They came to the conclusion there was nothing there. I'm sure for them, they would have got up super early that day, done everything they could, and at the end of the day, the whole exercise seemed totally futile. And in a word, they were disappointed. Ever been disappointed? Every human being's been disappointed at some point in time. Disappointment is simply coming to the place where things don't turn out the way you expected them. Disappointed. It didn't turn out the way, that was their livelihood. It wasn't just a hobby. They needed to catch fish that day and nothing happened. The weather hasn't been terribly kind to me in the last few weeks, so I haven't had my boat out as often as I'd like. But I'm going to tell you, on those days that I go out, everything's ready. Got the gear. The boat's fueled up. Everything's planned. Got the bait in the boat. I've checked out where we're going to go, checked the tides. Everything's ready. Get up early, head down to the boat ramp, put it in. I can tell you never, ever, ever have I gone out with this expectation that nothing's going to happen today. Never gone out. Never gone out thinking, well, this will be a waste of time, but let's do it anyway. Let's do it anyway. No, no, no. There have been days I've done everything right. Got the boat, got the gear, got the everything all in place and gone out all day and don't even catch a cold. Useless. It's actually deflating. It's even worse when others around you are successful. I have a friend, he's in the room, his name is Andrew Carter. He loves to catch at least one more fish than me and tell me about it. You get to a boat ramp, come in after a day, you've been out there in the sun, you've tired and you've toiled. You get in, and the guy at the other side of the ramp says, how'd you go, buddy? He says, yeah, nothing out there today. He said, oh, yeah, there is. And they open up their esky and say, have a look. You smile, but in your heart you're saying, shut up. They're doing well. And we came up empty. Some of us have had experiences like that in life. Things we were hoping for haven't turned out the way we wanted. Our marriage that's in crisis. I can't count the number of weddings I've done over many years of ministry, but I can't think of one where the bride and groom walk down the aisle expecting to end in divorce in the next few years. Did everything right, but I don't know, it just didn't happen. That business, those dreams we had haven't been realized. And you get amongst friends and they're telling you how blessed they are and prosperous, and in your heart you're sort of happy for them, but you're saying, God, my season seems so empty, I feel so futile, it's hard, it's tough. Your health, that hasn't improved. What about people in your life that don't meet your expectations? Had great hope, great expectations, and now you're just disappointed. You ever been there? If you've walked the planet for a few decades, you've all been there. I've been there. I remember a season when things were happening in our nation that deeply troubled me. It so got to the point, I don't think I've ever told you this publicly. It was only a few years ago, I got so down and so disturbed about the state of our nation and the direction some things were going that I seriously considered leaving pastoral ministry and going into politics. Actually sat on that decision. One of the political parties actually invited me to consider going down that path. And I sat on that decision for about 7 days till I came to the conclusion that the answer for this nation is not a change in public policy. It's a spiritual awakening. And we need to get on with preaching the gospel. But I can tell you, what gets you to that stage is disappointment. Disappointment. I thought it was going to go this way, and now nothing. Solomon said this in Proverbs 13. He said, hope deferred. What's hope? Hope is eager expectation. Hope deferred means it hasn't happened yet. I've waited and I've waited and I've waited. Proverbs 13 says that kind of experience causes people to have hearts that are sick. Jesus, there's nothing. This is tough. But the day he got into their boat, he knew there was a better way. And there is a way forward. Can somebody say amen? There is a way forward. There is a way out of this situation. Verse 4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, by the way, Simon, he has a name change eventually. He's the same guy as Peter in the Gospels. He said to Simon, put out, this is the important verse, put out into where? The deep water and let down the nets for a catch. I've been sitting on a word for our church and I'm going to preach it wherever I can. I feel that the Lord is speaking to our church right now in this season. And here it is. It's captured in that one verse, verse 4. Here it is. Go deeper and try again. Go deeper. There is a call of the Master to go deeper in him. Don't stay in the shallow places. There's nothing in the shallow places. He's calling you by his Spirit to go deeper in him. There's amazing things. Can I tell you something? As somebody that's out on the water fairly often, the best fish, the biggest fish are out in the deep places. You're not going to catch anything on the edge. So there's an invitation that says go deeper. But listen, let me tell you something. There's a practical dimension to your faith. Don't just go deeper spiritually. Do something. Try again. Cast your nets out. Have another go. And what did Simon do? The very thing we do when God starts speaking to us. We come up with reasons why it's not going to work. Look at verse 5. Simon, he answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught a thing. I love the fact that Jesus let Simon vent. You know the problem with some of us? Our prayer life is just way too polite. Oh, Jesus, how are you this morning? My whole world's falling apart, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I tell you, read the Psalms. Listen to David, the one whose heart, the Bible says, he had a heart after God's heart. There are days when he's literally doing it tough. There are days when he's ticked off. There are days he says, God, with my own mind, I've come to the conclusion that I'm even disappointed in you. And God graciously undergirds him. God, people are letting me down. God, this hasn't turned out the way I want it. But I'm going to look to you because that's where my help comes from. Some of us need to learn to ask and knock and seek and do it with some passion rather than just being polite. Jesus, this isn't working. Tried everything we know. We've come up empty. Some of you could say, Jesus, we've been praying for our family for way too long, and I'm not seeing any encouraging signs. He's saying, go deeper. Try again. Jesus, that business, I've been integrous, been working hard. Be knocking on every door, paying my tax, doing things that some of the people are doing dodgy things. I'm not taking any shortcuts. It's tough. Not getting a breakthrough. Go deeper. Try again. Your health. Seen a lot of specialists. And dare I say it, I've been on a lot of altar calls. Nothing. Heed the invitation to go deeper in him. Those projects that you started with so much zeal, not seem to getting anywhere. Read on. Every one of us has got those things that hasn't quite turned out the way we expected it to. And if we're not careful, we'll end up disappointed. Jesus says, come deeper. Try again. Read on, verse 5. There's another part of that verse. But because you say so. I'm going to read that again. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Some versions say, at your word. Here. I've been reading the book of Revelation lately, and over and over and over it says, if you've got ears, hear what the Spirit's saying. Oh God, open up our ears so we can hear what you want to say to us. And the word of the Lord is coming to you again. He's saying, come on, don't stay in the shallow places. Go deeper in him. Get into that place where you are totally lost in him and start living by faith. Try again. The word of the Lord is coming to you again. Go deeper. Go deeper. And you know what happened when they went deeper and did what he said? They let down their nets. Verse 6 tells me they saw a miracle. Can I say to you lovingly, the miracle you're looking for is not in the shallow places. The miracle that you're looking for requires you to activate kingdom power by faith. Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Wow. They never had a catch like that in their day. Their nets had a certain capacity. These were pros. They knew what they would normally expect to catch. And these nets, they'd never seen a catch like this. Why? They did what the master said. They went out deeper. They tried again, despite the fact they'd been feeling totally deflated. And their day ended so much better than it began. Why? They let Jesus into their boat and they did what he told them to do. There's miracles in that space. So have you given up? Have you parked your expectation? Been there, done that. Oh yeah, I remember when I was one of those teenagers, I was so excited. I used to be in the mosh pit jumping up and down for Jesus. Now I've kind of reasoned out why this stuff doesn't work. I'm in church more out of religious obligation than passion. Oh no, he's coming to you again today and he said, come on, take my invitation. It's time to get out of the shallow places and go deeper in me again. Go deeper. What's it look like to go deeper? Well, we live in this book, the Word of God. I've said it before from this platform, but the Bible is the only book on the planet that promises every time you open it, the author will turn up. John 14, John 16 tells me the Holy Spirit's going to guide us in truth. Can I encourage you? Do not read the Bible out of some sense of obligation. Don't just read a verse or two, go tick, well, I've done that for the week. No, go deeper. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5. He says, by this time, you ought to be teachers. And you need to someone to teach, though by this time you need to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use, say constant use. Can I ask you, have you got constant use of the book? One of my prayers over Hope Center is that we are people that are actively engaged in Scripture. The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you accepted his invitation to go deeper in the Word? Because here's the promise. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. you will know the leading of the Holy Spirit more acutely in your life if you live in the book. You're wanting him to speak to you, you want him direction. It'll come from here. There'll be a moment and you'll step into a situation and all of a sudden a verse will come to you. Your word is a light for my path, a lamp for my feet. That's what it is. It'll speak to me. The word of God, the word of God. You go deeper in the word, I'm going to tell you, we're talking about the year of transformation. This book is the key to transformation, not just information. Oh God, make us hungry for your word. We've had a baby dedication here this morning. Every parent knows that if their child's not hungry, there's something wrong. Can I tell you, look at me. The father knows when you're not hungry for the word, there's something wrong. I want to challenge you. I want you to join me. If you can, start every day with the book. If you've got a crazy start of the day, end every day. What a great way to get better sleep. The word of God, the last thing you're thinking about. Let's be people of the book. Prayer. Go deeper in prayer. Maybe for some of us, it's time that our prayer life is more than a shopping list. Maybe our prayer life is that vehicle that brings us into his presence and we get so lost in him. We just want to go deeper and deeper in him. It's an invitation. There's so much there when you learn to practice the presence of God in prayer. Go deeper. I tell you what, look at it looks like when we're going deeper, we're obedient to his promptings. Obedient. Jesus said in John 10 that this is the key to him knowing who's his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I know them because they obey me. I have a very important question. I ask my own soul this. What's the one thing that the Lord is asking me to do that I still haven't obeyed him in? I don't know what it is for you. I believe I know that God's speaking to me about certain things. It's more about stretching and going. Obey, obey, obey. Go deeper and do something. You know what this requires? Trust. Come with me for a moment to the shores of the lake. These men were professional fishermen. They knew their stuff. They knew the wind, the tides, they knew everything. They knew the best bait, they knew everything. Now, into their boat gets a carpenter. Don't you love it when people aren't experts in the field but they've got opinions on how you could do it better? All right. If you're a football referee, I'm one of those people. One of the spiritual gifts I have is to help and encourage referees just in interpretation of the rules. So here's these fishermen. A carpenter comes along and says, you know what? You've missed it. I've got so much more for you. And you know what? It would be very, very easy for them to ignore what Jesus was saying, but something in their heart said, this carpenter knows something that I don't know. And they said, Jesus, we've tried all day, we've tried all night, we've worked hard, come up empty, but at your word. Some of you have given up on some things way too easy. You've given up on that kid. You've given up on that situation. Don't give up. Go deeper in him and keep doing what he told you to do. It mightn't make sense, but he sees things from a different perspective. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, I love this. Proverbs 3, one of the verses that many of us learned in our early days of faith. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust. Say trust. Trust in the Lord with what? See, these fishermen could have worked it out with their mind, but something in their heart says, this carpenter knows something. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I love how the NIV puts it. In all your ways, what does it say? Submit to him. This is the lordship dimension.
This isn't just the church attendance thing. This isn't the I hope I make it to heavens thing. This is a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You want to enter into that space where you see his power, when you experience his grace, when you're used mightily by the Holy Ghost, trust in the Lord with all your heart and stop rationalizing why things don't work with your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. If he says it, we do it. Because here's what he said, and he will make your path straight. The key is trust. I learned this as a little boy. We used to sing a song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. See, kingdom response. Kingdom response is triggered by steps of faith. So what is it? What's that thing that you feel the Lord is speaking to you about your miracle? Is it financial? I'm going to tell you, for Lynn and I, every time we've wanted to go to new steps and new spaces and new places of blessing, I always hear the Holy Spirit call me to trust him in the area of generosity, believing more, sowing more. Sowing more. It's amazing. We teach on the laws of the harvest, and yet continually God's people expect a huge harvest of hundreds of acres with just one small packet of seeds. No, no, no. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whatever. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know what it is. Is it loving people? Is it serving? Is it taking a step of faith into an area where it just doesn't go away? And it's his word coming to you again and again. In this season that we're entering into, where it's an incredible opportunity to speak the life of God in this Christmas season, is it time to get those cards and say, you know what? What have I got to lose? At your word, I'm going to take it and I'm going to say to that person in the office next to me, God loves you. What if they don't come? Look at me. They might not, but you've obeyed. And you've taken ground and you've started to stretch your faith muscle a little. I was flying home from a ministry assignment a few years ago, and the Holy Spirit said simply this to me, write to Andre Crouch. Some of you know that name. Andre Crouch was one of the early pioneers of contemporary Christian music, helped write the score for The Lion King. He's a cool guy. I'm a preacher's kid that didn't follow Jesus in my teens. But I had a friend that bought a ticket so I could go to a concert and see Andre Crouch and the Disciples live at Brisbane's Festival Hall. And I went, and to be honest, that music wasn't really my thing. I was more into Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and Black Sabbath. But I went. And I walked in, and there was something about the atmosphere. And this big guy in a three-piece suit was on stage, seems like for hours, probably 2.5 hours. And it was amazing. By the time he'd finished, he had his suit literally soaked through with sweat. He gave it his all. Had an altar call. I didn't budge. But something happened. On the way out, my friend, Youngie, he bought me Andre Crouch and the Disciples live at Carnegie Hall, bought me the CD. Actually, it wasn't a CD. This was the last century. It was a cassette. I was a tertiary student. I was real smart and arrogant in my own mind. And I didn't want anybody to know I even had a Christian cassette in my car. So you know what I did with it? I kept it under the front seat. And often, on the way home, often when I'd be at places, I'd sometimes pull up beside a river under a tree and I'd just play it over and over again. I could quote every verse and every word probably off that cassette. I played it till I wore it out. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I want the ushers to lock the doors. We're going to be here a few more minutes. I knew every line in that thing. Wind the clock forward. A few years later, I came to Jesus, incredible journey. Wind the clock forward a few decades, maybe three or more. I'm sitting on a plane, I've just preached somewhere. And the Holy Spirit says, write to Andre Crouch. So I contact my friend Darlene Check. I said, Darlene, do you know Andre's email number? She said, yes, I do. She said, you need to know, he probably won't reply, he's not good at that, but he'll get it. So I sat down in my office and I wrote an email. Dear Andre, my name is Wayne Alcorn, and I am doing these things for Jesus now. And I began to list it. And I said, I wonder if you remember the time you came to my city, Brisbane, and you shared with your band and you preached and you sung. I said, I was in the crowd that night. I said, I don't know how you felt about that concert, but I can tell you, you sowed a seed in this backslidden preacher's heart, this kid that was away from God and so insecure and so didn't know where he stood, you sowed a seed. And today I'm now casting more seed in Jesus' name. I just wanted to say thank you for doing what you do. He didn't know me and he didn't know. He didn't see any physical response. He saw nothing to be encouraged in that moment. So we've got to go beyond living by sight, and we've got to start walking by faith. We've got to start just saying, oh, at your word, Jesus, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen when I tell that person I'm praying for them. I don't know what's going to happen when I'm kind. I don't know what's happened when I'm going to say, all right, God, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to start trusting you with my finances. All I know is that when I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean on my own understanding and all my ways, acknowledge him and submit to him, he'll take care of the rest. Doesn't make sense, Jesus, but at your word, at your word. You know what's amazing? God knows everything from a different perspective to us. This building we're here worshiping in today, this is not the original building of this ministry. We're a church that was planted in 1930 that by faith people gave sacrificially during the Great Depression, and they ended up with a grand old building that stood for 70 years in Fortitude Valley. And then in 2004 we had an arson attack. And in a moment we had to move, and we went to the Brisbane Convention Centre, and we were there for a few years, and we saw what you now replay it. It was akin to a revival, and it was amazing days. But then we had to move around a bit, and it became difficult, and our people got, literally I think our people got travel sick, because at one stage we had 6 different venues in 9 weeks. I remember standing up in front of our people and said, listen, we've got another challenge with venues next week, so if you can find us, you're welcome to join us. It got like that. And right in the middle of it, I get a phone call from my friend, Alan Meyer. He's a pastor of a church in Melbourne. We'd had a fair bit to do with him through some of the care programs he was doing. He said, Wayne, we were praying and we just felt that you had this gift of faith, and we would really like you to come and preach because we're about to buy 9 acres next door to our property. I said, Alan, you're already on a large block. He said, yeah, we just want to future-proof the ministry. I said, you do know we don't even have a shoebox to meet in. I said, are you sure you want me? He said, yeah, we just believe it's you. I hung up. I said, I'll get back to you. I hung up, and the Holy Spirit said, at his word, it came again. It said, go and take a significant gift from the building fund of this church. I said, all right. So I went to our wonderful people who stood with us for years in oversight, and I said, guys, and I actually was a little bit conservative. I said, you know, I feel that I should go, and I feel that we should give. And I actually probably didn't even share the exact amount that I had in my heart. And when I shared it, they doubled the amount. Okay. So I went down a few weeks later and I preached, and I still remember the text, Isaiah 54. And at the end of the meeting, I asked the pastor and his wife to come on up, and I said, before we take the offering today, I said, you need to know I'm not somebody who's just got to talk. We as a church are standing with you, and we're believing you with you for your miracle. And I gave him an envelope. I said, I'd like you to open it up. And he opened it up, and his eyes bugged out. And he started to cry, and I started to cry for different reasons. Had a guy called Jim was working for me in those days. I remember my business manager at the time and I, we used to drive all around Brisbane praying, looking at buildings, looking at land. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We've tried all night. But at your word, can I tell you, within just literally, it wouldn't have been 2 weeks. After a long period, we were 2.5 years on literally as nomads. And in a handful of days, Jim comes and knocks on my door and said, Pastor, have you got a minute? I found a building in Bowen Hills. Can I tell you something? That building had been here all along. Just like the fish, they were there. They were there. We just needed to hear the word of the Lord and we needed to activate our faith. Hey, the fish are there. The miracle's there. It's time to go deeper and it's time to do what he told us to do. The rest is history, and so many of the miracles that have happened in our era has come on the back of some of those great steps of faith. At your word, at your word, at your word. I love how this story ends. We're going to bring this service to a close in a moment. Look at verse 9. Simon and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These were all pro fishermen. Highly trained. James and John Zebedee, it was a family business. They've been doing it for generations. Nothing. We've tried everything we know, but that's your word. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. They pulled up their boats on shore and they left everything and followed him. Can I tell you something, friends? When God gets into your boat, and when he invites you to take a journey that'll take you to a miracle zone, look at me. He's got something even bigger than your own agenda. He's got something in his mind that's going to cause others around you to see the goodness, the kindness, and the power of God. The Bible talks about signs and wonders. You know what a sign is? A sign points you to where you've got to go. You take a trip. You think, I want to go to this destination. And you look for the signs and it points you. When we see miracles, you know what God wants us to do? Not just be selfish with our miracle. He wants to do something in us so that he can then do something through us. And those around us say, hey, that has to be God. Signs and wonders. When they obeyed, they got a miracle. They got a revelation of Jesus. If you read early in that verse 8 and 9, Simon bows down and says, oh, Jesus, depart, we're wicked men. Had a revelation of his glory, of his lordship, and Jesus says, just relax. I know you're human, you're flawed, it's all good. They not only had a revelation of Jesus, they had a revelation and a prophetic insight into what their future would look like. Verse 10, from now on, you will fish for people. You'll fish for people. I'm staggered at how many people I'm meeting around these days that are so looking for Jesus. Whenever I get an opportunity, I'll just drop the name of our church. I'll drop something in that hopefully is just the starter of a conversation. Because people need the Lord. Can you say amen? This eternity series has so affected me. Eternity is real. People need the Lord. It's not, well, let's just see how we go. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's not it. The grave is only the start of forever. And I have this line, and you're going to hear it over and over and over and over and over. And I get 2025, you're going to hear it over and over and over. And here it is. That none perish. That none perish. So we're going to do whatever we can to get as many lifeboats, get them out into the community. Red Frogs out there doing carols, doing youth, doing what we can for families, young people, senior people. People need Jesus. And my miracle is not the end of the road. My miracle is the start. Say, hey, have a look. He did it for me. He can do it for you. It's a sign. It's a sign. So the invitation is there. Go deeper. Go deeper. And even though you've been disappointed, have another go. And where does this all start? By letting Jesus into your boat. Let him into your heart, you young parents. Let him into your family. I would hate to be a parent in the 21st century without God's help and grace. Let him into your boat. Let him into your business. You've worked it all out and you've got everything on your spreadsheets and everything else. Yeah. I get it. Be as responsible as you can. But there is a God factor that transcends everything that you know. The just shall live by faith. Let him into your boat.